Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer with John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, we talked on our last episode of this podcast about how Tennessee got a difficult draw on its scheduling from the SEC. 10-game schedule. The Vols are set to play 5 teams in the top 15 of the preseason Amway coaches poll. So now we turn toward projections, expectations for Tennessee. You know, I think we all had some numbers in mind for when it was going to be the 12-game season with Oklahoma on the schedule. But we got to wipe that clean, clear those expectations off the board. So now looking at this 10-game slate that Tennessee has, what's a reasonable expectation for success for the Vols this season?
Well, Blake, I had Tennessee. I thought Tennessee could go 9-3 in 12 games late, and I'll still stick to that 3-loss record. To constitute a successful season, I think Tennessee would need to go 7-3. So by that, if Tennessee could beat, let's say it could beat A&M and Auburn, you go back 2 years ago with a 5-7 Tennessee team, it beat a nationally ranked Auburn team on the road. It's a considerable underdog. I don't remember the point spread, but I think Auburn was ranked 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Then late in the season, it just waylaid Kentucky, which was rolling. I think it was ranked 12th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So let's use that as a model and say, okay, you win at Auburn again, and then later, then you come up and you beat A&M at home like you beat Kentucky. I still give Tennessee a pretty good shot against Florida, not so much against Alabama and Georgia. So I would go with 7-3 being a successful season.
See, I'm probably a little kinder than that, but that's the way I always am. I'm sort of a pessimist, I think, in nature when I look at making predictions for a lot of teams. And so I'm a little bit less bullish on what I think the Vols could do against this schedule. And so based off that, I probably would come down one notch on what I would deem a successful season. I mean, not wildly successful, not throwing a parade in the streets, but I think if Tennessee can go 6-4 with this schedule, beat a ranked team, run the table against Missouri, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Kentucky, South Carolina, while beating a ranked team, I think you could still sell that on the recruiting trail of, hey, this was a step in the right direction, beat a ranked team this year. It's not a huge step, but I think it's still gradual momentum. I think just because I say that, you know, 6-4 season, you could chalk it up and take it. I don't think the fan base would probably be real enamored with a 6-4 season. It's tough coming off an 8-5 year in which they closed with a 6-game winning streak. I think it's just tough to swallow a 6-4 mark, even with all the ranked opponents. But, you know, I think given the realities of the schedule, 6-4 really would be pretty reasonable if Tennessee finished there. Because I think one thing that people are overlooking is that whole running the table against the 5 other teams. I don't look at that as anywhere near a given, especially with Kentucky. You know, I don't really see much separation between Tennessee and Kentucky. I think you could make a case for Kentucky being 3rd in the East really just as easily as you could for Tennessee being 3rd in the East. I would give the advantage to Tennessee simply because I think Tennessee has a little bit more quarterback there. I know Jarrett Garantano's had his struggles and his inconsistencies throughout his career, but I still like Tennessee's quarterback situation a little bit better than Kentucky. So I would give Tennessee the edge over Kentucky, but I don't think there's much of an edge. I mean, I think we saw that last year when Tennessee needed a goal line stand to beat the Wildcats. And so I think that's part of my thinking too, is just, I don't look at it as a given that Tennessee is going to run the table against those other 5 teams.
I think another way to look at this is Tennessee's inability to beat the 3 biggest teams on its schedule. The 3 games that matter most to fans, certainly Alabama 1, probably Florida still 2 because of the history back in the 90s, and Georgia coming on strong now as a dominant team in the East. Those 3 teams, if Tennessee loses those 3 games, by double-figure margins. I don't think it will, but if it does and then loses to A&M or Auburn, I just don't think fans would look at that as a successful season. I think really it fans would see it as more successful. Let's say you lose to A&M and Auburn. We're talking about your 6-4 prediction here. Mm-hmm. Lose to A&M and Auburn, but then win one of those three games against the big three, Georgia, Alabama, Florida. I think that 6-4 might be received better than if you don't beat one of those big three but beat Auburn or A&M. It just won't mean as much to fans. I think if you go head-to-head and you beat Florida, beat Georgia, Alabama, and to me, Florida would be the most likely win there. I just think it would mean more to fans. It would also signify improvement, and I think it also would help you on the recruiting trail. You're saying, see, hey, we had a brutal schedule, but we beat Florida. We beat a top 10 team. We're right there. We just need a few more great players, and you're one of those players when you're trying to sell out to a recruit. So I think that would make a difference. But I just think if those big three games will go the way they've been going, I don't think 6-4 will be enough for fans.
Well, and I guess that's probably where I'm having one of those podcasts where I'm arguing with myself a little bit, I guess.
Well, I'll just walk off here and you can go ahead
no,
and
debate yourself. I need you to referee here, John, because I'm pretty sure if I was asked to give a record projection today, I would project 6-4. And so I guess from when I say what would define a successful season, well, if they hit my projection, that's a success, right? But I think that's maybe a little harder of a sell. So I'm pretty definitive. If asked to give a projection, I would project Tennessee at 6-4 with this schedule. Whether 6-4 could be deemed a success, whether fans would deem it a success, whether they should deem it a success, I think is a lot tougher for me to answer. So, you know, when I said 6-4 could be a successful season, I might be backpedaling from that. I'm still projecting the Vols at 6-4, but I'm less definitive on whether I would qualify that as a success, because that probably means you got swept by your three main rivals and you didn't move up the pecking order in the East and you still lost to another team in the West. So, yeah, I'm backpedaling away pretty quickly from whether I would call 6-4 a success, even though it would be meeting what I would have the Vols projected at.
Well, since you're backing up a little bit, I will congratulate myself for helping sway you.
Yeah.
Somewhat, and say I've had a really successful podcast. I've met my expectations for this podcast. Anything else that happens is gravy.
You know, normally I say columnists, I mean, you know, y'all can be entertaining to read, but do you ever really change anybody's opinion? Probably not very often. People believe what they're going to believe, but in this case, John, I think you've done it. You've changed my opinion.
Well, I think probably you changed it more than I did. You just like debating yourself. See?
Yeah. The only worthy adversary of me is me. Let's look at floor and ceiling, though. You know, I think so. You're coming in. You're projecting 7-3, correct? I'm projecting 6-4. Is that right? Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah.
But let's look at floor and ceiling. What do you see as being the floor for what Tennessee could finish this year and what the ceiling could be for wins with this schedule?
Well, the ceiling, I think I might be right at it. I think I might be predicting the ceiling. But, boy, 8-2, that means you're going 3-5 against top 25 teams or top 15 teams when you didn't beat a top 25 team last year. I mean, I guess you could say beat Florida, lose to Alabama and Georgia, beat Florida, A&M and Auburn. We commented on another podcast that A&M has a great knack for not realizing expectations and being overrated by both of us. So you could win that game, and Auburn has lost a lot of players. So I'll make the ceiling 8-2. Okay, 8-2 won't get you in the playoff, but gain a lot of respect, put you in the top 10. As far as the bottom, I guess five and five, you lose to all five of those ranked teams, but you win the games you're supposed to win. I guess you could say 4 and 6. I mean, you lose to all, I guess 4 and 6 would have to, I guess, would be the bottom, because 4 and 6, you lose to all five ranked teams in preseason, and then you lose to one of those other five teams.
Right.
Yeah, that would be the bottom. I couldn't imagine 3 and 7. I think Tennessee's made headway, and it proved last year it could win the games it's supposed to win. So, but absolute worst, I would say 4 and 6.
You mentioned an important fact there that often I think it's kind of hard to believe of last year's 8 and 5 season. Tennessee went the whole season without beating a ranked opponent. And I mean, it really just shows you what could have been, because there was two other unranked opponents that they didn't beat in Georgia State and BYU, home losses.
That's a good point.
And so, you know, when you're projecting, so much is based on what a team did last year and can they improve. And it's like, well, Tennessee won 8 games, went 8 and 5, set the bar for itself. But really, when you look at that 8 and 5, you know, who'd they beat? Not a whole lot. I mean, Kentucky on the road is probably the best win on the schedule.
Okay, let's look at it since you brought this up. When you think about it, playing in the SEC and you lose to BYU and Georgia State at home, who in the world would think you'd win 8 games?
Right. Well, and that's why people walked away from the season, I think, feeling relatively favorable about
sure,
it.
Sure, it's
looked so bad at the beginning. I mean, people were talking about like a 2-10 season.
Well, who would, when we look at this schedule, this all-conference schedule, who would be the equivalent of Georgia State?
Oh, boy. Vanderbilt, right?
No, I really think Georgia State's better than Vanderbilt. seriously, okay. I'm not ready
to Vanderbilt. Right. Arkansas, they're better than Arkansas.
I would say Arkansas has a quarterback who's done some good things. Felipe Franks, the Florida transfer, he's won some big games. Put him in there with Dan Ellington of Georgia State, who had a big game against Tennessee. So, yeah, I'd say Arkansas is the Georgia State equivalent. Now, who would you say who's BYU on this?
I don't see a BYU. That's tough, because if you had like a Mississippi State, I could say that's sort of BYU. But, well, I don't know. Maybe South Carolina. How about South Carolina? Would you buy that one?
I like BYU's quarterback better.
I know. I don't see there being a direct.
What about Kentucky?
Yeah, I think Kentucky, for whatever reason, I'm giving Kentucky a lot of credit.
Well, but a BYU had a better quarterback than Kentucky does.
That's true.
And it had a pretty good offensive line. Kentucky has a really good offensive line, probably better than BYU's. Kentucky's has a pretty good defense.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, debatable between a Kentucky or a South Carolina for me, but you seem a little bit more.
Well, no, I could go. Now, when I think about it, to me, Kentucky is better than BYU. I think you might have, I'll go the other way. Instead of South Carolina, I'll say Missouri.
Okay.
I'll put Missouri in there. So if Tennessee would lose to, Tennessee lost to, instead of BYU and Georgia State, if it lost to Arkansas and Missouri.
That would be the equivalent, yeah.
And then, but could it finish 4 and 6 in if it lost to Missouri and Arkansas?
You could finish worse than 4 and 6 if you lost to Missouri and Arkansas.
Okay.
I like your floor and ceiling. I think 4 and 6 is about the worst case scenario. I think 8 wins is really pushing it, but I think it's a, if we're talking the real ceiling, I think 8 wins. But how about this? You mentioned 8 and 2 wouldn't get you in the playoff. That got my wheels turning, John, because let's say this. Let's say you lose to Alabama and Georgia. You go 8 and 2, but let's say 8 and 2 is good enough to win the East still. Because even with a loss to Georgia, Georgia still has to play Alabama, Auburn, and Florida. So it could still lose more than two SEC games. And then if Tennessee's 8-2, that means it's beaten Florida. So it would have the tiebreaker against Florida in this scenario I'm talking about. And then you could go back to the SEC championship game and avenge that loss against Alabama. And so 8-2 might be all the Vols need to get in the college football playoff.
Yeah, okay.
Now,
well, let's put him in there then, Blake. Don't
I'm reaching too far there.
Let's embrace that then. You've basically just said Tennessee's a playoff contender.
I mean, hey, if you get to 8-2, it means you beat three top 15 teams. And then I just added to that upsetting Alabama in the SEC championship in a rematch, so why not?
Well, here's another possibility. Pac-12, Big Ten opt out of the season. I'm not the Big 12. The Big Ten and the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. So then you got ACC. Let's just say ACC drops out too. Big 12, let's say we're playing. SEC, we're playing. So then you could have in the playoff Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee.
Aren't you forgetting about UCF? Isn't UCF something to say about this?
No, it'll drop out.
Oh, okay.
Won't play. Yeah. So then Tennessee could end up playing Oklahoma after all.
Boy, I've gone from saying that 6-4 would be a successful season to somehow talking the Vols into the college football playoff. I don't know what's happened in the course of the last 10 minutes here.
So here we go then. What are the semis? I'll say it's going to be Alabama versus Oklahoma in one semifinal, and then Tennessee and Georgia in a rematch and a neutral site in the second game. So then, I mean, anything can happen in one game. You hope, say, Alabama beats Oklahoma, then you've got a rematch with Alabama for the national championship.
Why not hope for that Oklahoma game after all? You know, fans were so disappointed the Oklahoma game fell off the schedule. Why not
hope Oklahoma upset Alabama?
Yeah, and then you get that Oklahoma game in the end. You get everything you wanted all along.
There you go. It's who cares about COVID-19 anymore?
They had a national championship. Yeah, it makes everything seem a little better.
Pandemic, national title.
When we started recording this podcast, John, if you would have told me that I somehow started the train toward talking the Vols into the playoff, I never would have believed it. As people probably can tell, I so rarely have much of a roadmap coming into these podcasts, and this time I had none because somehow I've got myself even mentioning the Vols and the playoff in the same sentence.
Well, when you set a ceiling, the ceiling can always be really high. You just don't know what happened. And here's another factor. In a pandemic amidst COVID-19, I think the underdogs have an advantage. You just don't know what might happen. We have an abnormal season. I think the abnormal always favors the underdog. So there you go.
Where's the national championship scheduled to be played this year, John?
I'm glad you mentioned that because I didn't make hotel reservations in that city.
It looks like Miami Gardens. So,
boy, that would be sweet. When would we play this thing anyway? We don't have a date for the national championship game, do we? Is the original date still in play?
I think the original date might still be in play. Of course, that's all meaningless right now. But even if they kick it back a couple weeks, the weather be just fine in Miami. It'll be fine on January 11th. It'll be fine on January 18th, I assume. So either way, let's book it. Let's get our reservations on the books, and we'll be prepared.
Yes, we will. Always.
Well, I think we've talked up the Vols enough for one podcast. That'll do it.
I think our next podcast is, can Tennessee win it back to back?
Right. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
With this recruiting class, why stop at one title? All right, John, we'll gaze into that one next time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.